overall health and livability and economic well-being. So any criticism that we may have of this proposal at this stage is not a reflection on our view of the value of the park system. We did participate, my predecessor, on the Parks SDC Task Force, and I think there was a little bit of frustration in that process because we didn't actually get the rate impacts and the numbers until the process was pretty much over. And it's one thing to discuss methodology at a conceptual level. It's another thing once you see what that means on the ground. And then that caused us some concern once we saw those numbers. The impacts are significant, particularly on commercial development when you're looking at 300% things in that area. It's a large impact. We agree with others that moving away from a level of service makes sense, given the environment that we're in. Although we do think that the replacement value, including all of the land costs and some of the things that we've already heard, has inflated that numerator, and then that flows through into all the rates and the large increases that we're seeing in the rate schedule. I think, you know, Commissioner Novick raised a bunch of questions that I think we share and just wanting to understand if we don't have enough land in the city to continue on level of service, but we're essentially using that full land base in the cost for what the rates will be going forward, have we kind of backed ourselves into the same problem that we found ourselves in before? So in closing, SDC rates are, in parks in particular, one of the highest SDC rates. They can make a project go upside down, especially when you look at the cumulative impacts of all of them together. So we would really hope that we could take some more time, understand some of the issues, and do some refinement on the proposal that's before you, and maybe take that opportunity as well to look at the cumulative impact of all of the SDCs and fees and what that means on development and affordability and the city's ability to provide for the expected economic and residential growth that we have forecast.
Marion, thank you for your testimony. We did have a chart in the presentation on where the cumulative impact fees rank in the region, and we're sort of in the middle of the pack. If there are additional comparators you think we should be looking at, peer cities or other comparisons you think are valid, would you submit those?
Sure. And some things are going to be not exactly related to SDCs in and of themselves. That's why looking at the impact, land values are going to be higher in the city. So that changes the development pro forma. And so looking at it really in context, I think, is important to understand what the real impact on the ground is going to be.
Yeah, I think just encourage, because you have a perspective, and if it's in writing, it's just going to be easier for us to track.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Thanks very much. You're the last word on the subject for this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and members of council. My name is Michael Alexander. I'm here today as a member of the Portland Parks Board. I moved to Portland in 2005 to work for a local insurer based here in the downtown area, and for the first 2 years, I lived within walking distance of the office to give myself time to decide where I wanted to live within the city. I chose the Sellwood neighborhood. And part of my decision was the impact that Sellwood Park has on the quality of life in that community. In much the same way that the park influenced my decision to choose Sellwood, there were other areas of the city that were less inviting because they lacked easily accessible parks, programs, and natural areas. And although we are all citizens of Portland, there are clearly greater and lesser of equals as it relates to the ability to have access and enjoyment to the gifts and the assets of our park system. In 2010, I joined the Parks Board because I welcomed the chance to be part of a group that would advise the Bureau and its commissioners on how best to strengthen the financial stability of Portland Parks and Rec, and to also deliberately and intentionally make the benefits of our park system and its gifts more equitably accessible to all Portlanders. The manner in which the system development charge revenues are generated and allocated plays a critical role in achieving that goal. As a resident of the city and a member of the Parks Board, I'm fully supportive of making the riches of our parks area and its programs more accessible to all, regardless of race, culture, economic status, or geography. I believe that the proposed change for residential fees to factor in the size of dwellings will result in more consistent and accurate calculation and assignment of SDC charges and help control for the variance in square footage for single and multifamily residences. As a result, the new methodology will focus on intensifying the maintenance of existing parks while allowing for acquisition and development of new parks in our rapidly changing demographics here in the city. So I ask that Council approve the proposal before you. Thank you.
Michael, I know you said you're here as a Parks Board member. Is today the last day you'll appear before us as an Urban League CEO?
I have another month, Commissioner.
All right, so we'll have a chance to fuss
don't,
over
don't
you.
Don't rush it. Thank you. Thank you all very much.
So, Mayor, I believe we only have four more people.
Is that right?
Yes.
There are only four more signed up? Is that right?
Correct.
Let's go ahead and I thought we had many more after that. Let's take those four and then we'll. Thanks, everyone, for your patience, and then we'll switch to the second item.
Well, then we. The next four are three are Julie Vigeland, Jess Larson, and David Sweet.
Sweet's still here. I think Ms. Vigeland's still here.
And Veronica Bernier.
She left.
Okay. She left. So we have two more. Thank you. Okay. Told Michael Alexander you got the last word. I was wrong. One of you will. Who would like to be first?
Please. Mayor Hales and Commissioners, I'm Julie Vigeland. I'm a member of the Parks Board. As a Parks Board member, I've become familiar with and more knowledgeable about SDCs than I ever thought I would, and realize the critical role that they play in ensuring that our parks keep up with our growth. At the core of the discussions we have at parks meetings is equity. All recommendations to you, our City Council, are based on equity for all our citizens. As a Parks Board member, I've been involved with over 6 years of discussions regarding investments in parks projects. How is it that we can accommodate our population growth? How can we meet the demands of that growth? Through SDCs, we've accomplished many incredible projects. A few of the examples from the years I was chair would be the acquisition of property for the fields, Buckman Field, the Wad Bluff Trail, the renovation of Dawson Park. These are all important to our community. Two issues that are of high priority to the Bureau and personal passions of mine are community centers and the poor condition of our maintenance facilities. We need more community centers for our growing population. They are key to the health and well-being of communities all around the city. And the maintenance facilities at Tabor Yard, they are not only a physical shambles, but they actually hamper the work of our employees. The first time I visited, I truly could not believe my eyes. With the updated methodology for SDC implementation, there will now be the allowance for funding of these two absolutely vital components of our park system. Additionally, antiquated aquatic facilities can be updated so our citizens have access to pools instead of arriving to find closed on the doors. We need to make this change in SDCs and see it as the investment that it is. It's an investment that can provide economic benefits. Open space conservation actually attracts investment. Parks help to keep cities vital. Parks boost tourism and unquestionably safeguard the environment for our people and their communities, for the health of the city, and for equity among our citizenry. And as a longtime Portland resident and ardent member of the Portland Parks community, I support the updated SDC system and would urge your approval and passage. Thank you.
Thank you. David?
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, my name is David Sweet. I'm Land Use Chair of the Cully Association of Neighbors. And last night, the CAN Board voted unanimously to support the Parks SDC methodology update. The Cully neighborhood has benefited greatly from Parks SDC funding, which has paid for improvements to Sacagawea Park, Thomas Cully Park, our new Conemaugh Park opening next month, and the acquisition of Colwood Golf Course, a future nature park. It is well known that our neighborhood has been parks deficient, and we're grateful that these funds have been available to provide recreational opportunities for our community. Cully was annexed to the city in the 1980s, along with much of East Portland, and we share with East Portland neighborhoods a lack of essential infrastructure. East Portland is being asked to house a growing share of our low-income and immigrant families. It is critical that we establish funding to correct these historic inequities. We believe that the proposed Parks SDC methodology update is a step in the right direction. We are particularly pleased to see that the proposal will scale SDCs by house size. This was a policy change that the Cully neighborhood requested in our comments on the proposed comprehensive plan. It will encourage the construction of smaller, more affordable housing, and we hope to see this policy emulated in SDCs levied for transportation, sewer, and water. I would be remiss if I failed to thank Commissioners Fish and Fritz for their advocacy for Parks and Cully. Please approve the methodology update so that this work can continue. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Oh, hi. We're on, huh? Good. Veronica here, Veronica Bernier from Portland State University School of Community Health Education, and most recently a graduate alumni of 2005 working in the field of park and recreation. That's why I'm here. Good afternoon, Mayor Charles Hales. It's good to see you. You always look well and rested. I don't know what your secret is, but whatever you're doing, keep doing it.
Veronica used to say that about his predecessor, too, so I'm a little suspicious.
I think you're right. You're right. I've been following this City Hall for about 10 years now. I was introduced to through Terry Anderson, through Gretchen Miller-Kafori's office, and, of course, former Mayor Vera Katz, who we all love and know and remember. Commissioner Nick Fisher, looking well. I'm pleased to see you. I like your leadership in the movement. And Commissioner Amanda Fritz, of course, it's always good to have another nurse on board because we can take them over at any time if for good things. You know, nurses can use their powers for good things or for other things, just depending on their mood. But I don't know. That's a joke. You can laugh later. So anyway, Park and Rec. Here we go. Park and Rec. I'm a veteran of Park and Rec since I was 12. I was in Edward R. Burton Park learning tennis and playing tennis with everybody. I love Park and Rec. I'm studying it at PSU because I believe it's important. Your issues are very important. I notice that right now many parks need your support. 2,000%, because sometimes the infrastructure is failing, particularly the bathrooms, the restrooms, the water fountains. Everything needs to be fixed up in certain areas. I would like to see more concessions, more food and concessions, but also I'd like to see concessions given to people who have dogs. Off-leash dog walking areas are very important. Commissioner Dan Saltzman has run that one all around, and the people in the Savier neighborhood love that dog walking area. The only problem we have with the doggies now is that the birds and bees. I'm not going to go into that. Everybody knows, but we have to have them restraining themselves just a little bit and a little shorter on the lead. When the doggies approach one another dog, they have to have a formal introduction. Everybody gets fun. Anyway, I'm almost done. I had to wrap that up because we did get some feedback on that one. Well, we already have enough puppies. So anyway, so I'm glad you're here, and also we support, you know, the support of what you're doing, and keep coming back, really. I like dogs, friendly dogs with green coats on them, the helping dogs. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Okay. So, Mayor, I know you're anxious to get to your next piece. If you could close the public hearing.
That's what I'm going
to
do.
And then our consultant is just flew in specially for the occasion,
so
if we could ask him to come back up and...
Further questions for the consulting team or the lead consultant?
So time is dear, Mayor. We have some very specific issues raised in an unusually thick and thoughtful set of documents. I think I would simply make a request that if there's an issue raised in any of the written testimony that we haven't had a chance to discuss, if you had some follow-up, because at the beginning of the hearing you did address some of the concerns you had heard from the community. If there's a new issue, and I don't think we need a lot of attention on the legal issue per se, if we can always ask the city attorney for advice on that, but if there's a policy question, and I did find that discussion about whether SDC should apply to demolitions interesting, because there's a house on my street that's going from a one-bedroom to, I think, a five-bedroom, and I don't know whether there is an equitable argument for applying or not. I understand the other side of the argument. I'd like something further on that, just to have your thoughts.
Could you just tell us that right now, because I'm concerned I may have misspoken earlier. Does it apply to demolitions and internal conversions?
So your SDC current code, and as we have amended it, still applies to building permits. So if you need a building permit for something, we would have to at least consider whether it applies. We specifically said in the old rules that if you build a new dwelling unit, then you would pay an additional fee. But if you were, let's say you were tearing down a building with four units and you were going to build five, you'd only pay for the one additional one. Now we're adding square feet to the equation. And the way the code is written is it would change with the square footage. So if you went from 1,050 square feet to 1,245 square feet, it would kick into the next category. But it would also work in reverse. If somebody tears down a big house and builds a smaller one, we haven't written the administrative rules on this, so there's room for interpretation.
The scenario I'm more familiar with in my neighborhood is the smaller house, like the bungalow, being torn down and replaced right. by a very large house, two or three stories, with triple the square footage. So that you're saying that under the proposal, there would be an additional SDC for that associated with that demolition?
They would pay for the amount that would be due for the three-story large place, but it would be reduced by the amount that they would have paid, whether they ever paid it or not, but what the fee would have been for the smaller place. Right. Your code has always had that difference in it.
And what about the situation that Mr. Fahoud mentioned where it's the same square footage, but we're dividing one apartment into two?
I think we need to look at that in terms of, you know, what is the actual building permit, and we can get a response back.
I also heard him say something about affordable housing, and I wasn't sure if he was qualified under that exemption.
I would appreciate something in writing on this issue we've just discussed, because there's some other policy proposals which are kicking around demolitions. I'd just like to better understand how this works under the current code and under the proposal.
And I might also mention, another topic was brought up was our capital improvement plan. I think you have copies of that, and it is also posted on our website. So.
Do you agree with the characterization that this is a slush fund for the parks?
I do not, Commissioner.
Give you a chance to respond.
For the record, thank you.
I wish it were a lot bigger, because there's that part of the reason that the capital improvements isn't more defined is that the costs of building new parks, as we're finding with the parks bond, varies greatly, as do the system development charges coming in on a month-by-month basis. So it's not like we can count on them like property taxes. They're
what we did to our consultant, we did hear some testimony that the CIP may not be extensive enough or detailed enough. You addressed that in your remarks at the front end. Anything else you want to add on that?
Well, I encourage you to talk to your attorney about a careful reading of the statute, because that's what they are expert at. I believe that you have been seriously misdirected by some of the testimony this afternoon, alleging that this new approach is in contradiction to the state statute about CIPs. You're hearing from speakers who are used to starting with a CIP and then ending with an SDC. I gave you a slide that said you can do it that way, but you can do it the other way. They're asserting that the statute requires you to do it only one way. That is not true. Talk to your attorney. It does not require a particular sequence. We have a CIP. It is produced before you adopt. We're allowed to do that. And if I had a longer period of time, I could get into a little tutorial about why it works that way for parks and not for streets. But suffice it to say, your attorney, I believe, will assure you that this is not an item on which, I mean, anybody can challenge you on anything, but it's not an item I see you losing on.
It's an important follow-up item, I think, yeah.
I just have one question for you. We have a proposal. We've put amendments before the public for testimony. We've closed the record. What is your will proceeding?
I'd like to set it over for the second reading, not next week. Am I required to say how many weeks' time?
We can continue it and then set a date. So that sounds like certainly there's a need for some time for analysis, given the depth of testimony that we received. So I want to give you and the Bureau a chance to go through that in depth and then return to council discussion. So we can continue it and not set a date certain at this point.
That sounds good.
Mr. Mayor, can I close with perhaps a layperson's explanation about why this is not a reimbursement fee? I know it's fundamentally a legal question, but if we can just get practical here. So I'm going to go out to dinner. I walk into the restaurant, I walk by another customer, they're eating a meal that looks really enticing. So I go and sit down at my table, and I'll say to my server, I'll have what she's having. Now what happens? Did they bring me her plate? If they do, then I have to pay for part of her dinner. That's a reimbursement fee. But if I say, I'll have the same dish that she's having, then she pays for her dinner. The server goes into the kitchen, gets me an identical dinner. That's not reimbursing the existing dinner that was on the table. I've got a whole new dinner that's just like her. And that's what our investment per capita method is about. We want the new customers coming to town to our restaurant to buy a meal like the meal that we've been having, and we want them to pay for it, but we're not asking them to pay for our meal.
I just want to throw one little twist at you. What if you order the exact same dinner, but by the time it gets into the kitchen, the price of beef has doubled?
And if it's an all-you-can-eat buffet, and they run out of roast beef, yeah.
Torture a perfectly good metaphor.
Thank you.
Well, Randy Young, excellent job as our consultant. Commissioner Fish, I commend you for hiring this firm. And Riley Wickham and the rest of our team, Michael Basse, a great job. We really appreciate it. Thank you, everybody who came to testify today. To be continued.
Thank you. Excellent hearing. And, yeah, we'll continue this and reschedule when we're ready. Okay.